This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We only have 1 hour left, and we got to squeeze a lot in here, so I teased this earlier in the show. And if I'm trying to get better at one thing, it's following up on these teases. Because then people will say to me later, hey, I never actually heard that cut you talked about. Well, let's play it right now. Let me set the scene here. It's a scene that might be all too familiar if you've listened to how we talk about politicians over the years. This is not the first time something like this has happened. Michigan State Police released body cam footage on Sunday of an incident involving Democratic State Representative Jule Jones, who was reportedly charged with driving under the influence, resisting arrest, and weapons possession following a collision last week. The video shows police tackle a combative Jones to the ground after he physically resisted arrest and threatened to call Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Jones can be heard reminding the officers that he had oversight of their budget as they attempt to put handcuffs on him. Now, before we play this, I know what you're probably thinking. Wait a second. They identified him as a Democrat within the first sentence of the story. Well, this is from Fox News. I'm sure if you went to any other publication, you would not be hearing about his party affiliation. He pulls an old Ted Kennedy, do you know who I am? And
do you know who I am?
He also kind of makes it worse by saying, I'll call Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So he name drops the governor. I don't know how great this audio is. It's decent, Jared said, but you guys basically know what he's going to come out with anyway and say. So with that being said, this is Representative Jule Jones, cut 10.
No, I already told you that. I already asked your driver's license and your ID.
All right. Take care of me. I'll give you my stuff. Take care of me. I got you. You got to make sure they don't pull up before I pull on the
plane. You're not going anywhere right now.
You're going to take me with him, all right?
Listen to me. We're going to do this one step at a time. Right?
Okay. Can I get my phone first?
No. Right now, I want your ID and your driver's license. Okay?
I can't do that. Don't tense up.
All right. So he's asking, the cop is asking for his ID. He says, I can't do that. Now, this is where it gets to the name dropping. This is cut 11.
Stop resisting. Stop resisting.
Well, I'm telling you, if you do that, that's
stop
not going to be good.
Stop.
It's not going to be good for you. I'm telling
stop.
You.
Stop.
I run your budget, bro. I'm killing. I just want to talk to you. I won't move. I won't go nowhere. I just want to talk to you.
We got this one. Give me your right. Give me your left arm.
I just want to talk to you, bro.
We're going to. Come if you stop resisting.
Oh, let go of my arm.
Your left arm, you're gonna get taken.
I don't like this. Cause
give us your left arm. Bro. Stop resisting.
Bro, I've been abused by the police officers because I'm black.
When I call Gretchen, I need your ID and back on everything.
I told you already. Yep. I will sit here and give you all my.
He doesn't even say her last name. He's on a first name basis. I'm gonna call Gretchen. Wow. I always find it
the
funny.
The Gretchter, as we like to call her, you know.
Now, I know that there's alcohol involved and people lose their, you know, rational train of thought. But I always find it funny when people get pulled over that they think that talking about how much of a public figure they are or how much power they have is going to help. Because the cops are always looking at them as they're slurring their words and their eyes are going two ways and going, oh, that's good to know. It's good to know you're not just, you know, anybody, that you're actually someone who this body cam footage will probably really embarrass. All right. So moving on from that, Peter Ducey, congratulations to him, by the way, he got married this weekend. he is not holding back with Jen Psaki. Now, Jared, the first cut I'd like to play here, these are all very fresh cuts, and we'll keep gathering them as the show goes on. I mentioned to you guys earlier that there's reports that Kamala Harris's book is included in migrant children's welcome packs. I know what a lot of you are thinking. I didn't even know they got welcome packs. Well, try to keep up, okay? They get nice welcome packs. I'm sure they're full of things, you know, books and whatever. And one of those books is Superheroes Are Everywhere, published by Kamala Harris in 2019. Peter Ducey, the one-horse pony soldier, noisy fixture in the press briefing room, decided to ask Jen Psaki about this.
Last couple days in the New York Post that every migrant child being brought to a shelter is being given a copy of her children's book, Superheroes Are Everywhere. Do you know why that is and if she is making any money off of that?
Of the president? Of the vice president?
President's book, yeah.
I'd have to check with our Health and Human Services team. If you're talking about if they go to shelters or if they go to...
Yeah, in the welcome kit, apparently, there's a copy of her 2019 children's book, Superheroes Are Everywhere.
I'd have to certainly check on that. Here, it's a good book.
Oh, you do. You hear that. Interesting. I have to say, the technique that she has, I know I talk about this a lot. She likes to reframe questions back to the journalist to kind of take the air out of whatever the question is and kind of diminish it, denigrate the question, make it seem like it's a stupid question. And it's a tactic now that's becoming even weaker because she's answering all the questions with a question. And I want to talk about this because I have personal experience with it. My younger brother was never a fabulous student. Great person, great personality, but school wasn't his thing. And he used to sit at the kitchen table with my mother every single morning and every single afternoon before school and after school. And she would quiz him on whatever it was he was going to be learning that day. She really tried her best to try to help him get better grades in school. And my younger brother had a technique that he would use on a daily basis that would drive my mother insane, and it would irritate her. She would say something like, "Who was the 16th president?" And my brother would say, "Well, I'm sorry, what do you want to know? Who's the 16th president? Is that what you said? Mom, what was the question?" And my mom, I remember distinctly her yelling and saying, "Stop asking me the question. You heard what I asked. You heard the question. Stop pretending you didn't hear the question." And that's what Jen Psaki does. Instead of just saying, "Oh, I don't know, I have to check back on that. I'm sorry, well, you want to, the book? The vice president? Who are you asking about?" No, enough. The Mickey the Dunce routine is getting very old. You heard the question. Either get your ears checked or get out of there. And we have another cut, Jared. Can you set this up for us? I'm not sure exactly what this is.
So the noisy fixture pony soldier asked another question that's kind of been burning on the minds of everybody related to the climate party conference Zoom call last week.
Oh, yeah.
Why was President Biden the only world leader at the climate summit Zoom who was wearing a mask?
Because he is sending a message to the world that he is putting in place precautions and continuing to do that as leader of the United States. And I don't know what setups they all had in their countries that may warrant some more reporting or not. But obviously he had a pool there for portions. There were additional staff there, additional personnel. And that's the sort of model that we try to keep ourselves to here.
But I know the CDC's website and their guidance is that you can gather indoors with fully vaccinated people without wearing a mask or staying 6 feet apart.
That's actually for in your private home. So it's not workplace guidance. And we still wear masks around here, just like you are all wearing masks. And we wear masks in our offices and continue to abide by that until that guidance changes.
But she is literally not wearing a mask.
Yeah, you're not wearing a mask.
While saying that at her office.
I agree with her that he's sending a message. I just don't think it's the message that they think it is. I don't think you guys are sending the message you think you're sending, Jen. Oh, by the way, speaking of just hypocrisy, on the other side, I'm going to tell you a story. You know, we talk a lot now about do as I say, not as I do.
And it's very popular with politicians. It's also very popular with the teachers' unions. Jared often talks about how teachers will talk about, or they'll post, I'm never going back. I'm not going to go back. You're not putting me in danger. And they'll post it from like Puerto Rico or wherever they are on vacation. I have a really funny story about this. It's not even funny. It's just frustrating. But I think you guys are going to enjoy it. It's out of Arizona. So we will have that on the other side and a little bit more sound here. Maybe we'll play the Dr. Fauci saying that it's your responsibility to get vaccinated. Hotels, vets, dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is why Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. So that means you can have one for your basement, one for your car, one for your kitchen, or even give one away as a gift if you have a friend who's been really wanting to try it. I'm holding it up here. It's small, it's lightweight, you don't have to use air filters. But the really important thing to know about the Eden Pure is how it works. And there's no one better to describe it than someone who suffers with allergies. Jared Diglio, please tell people how it's worked in your life.
All right, so you put it in the wall or you plug it into your car using the USB port and the cable. You turn the knob to your desired setting and that is it. That's all you have to do. And what happens is the thunderstorm actually starts ionizing and purifying the air around you, creating a nice, clean oxygen for you to breathe. And as somebody who has allergies, it's been great for me, especially now. You see the pollen all over the ground. Everybody this weekend was out cutting the grass because it's that time of year and allergies are going nuts. But I don't have to worry about that with the thunderstorm, and I am going to get another one to keep in my car.
Yeah, it's a great product, and like Jared said, it's very easy to use, very effective, and it's small, it's lightweight. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, so that saves you time and money. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit, and they're bulky, and they're not very attractive, and they're expensive. But if you go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE3, you can save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. The 3-pack is for this week only. We'll be back on the other side. I'll open up lines for a few more calls before producers' picks at 2:30. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
I had an idea this morning about an award show for Credulous Boomer Rubes, where we could have an award show where we give out awards to the award shows that are the worst. Like, for instance, who had the lowest ratings? And then we'd, you know, pick out, was it the Grammys? Was it the Golden Globes? Was it the Oscars? Who had, and you could also just have separate categories of like, who had the wokest speech? Who had the most obnoxious speech? Who had the most nonsensical speech? And I think that would be cool. It'd be a way for us to enjoy award shows without actually having to watch any of these crappy movies. All right. So now I told you guys about this story from Arizona. Arizona parents slams school board for double standard of hosting retirement party but canceling prom. A parent of 5 children in Arizona blasted the district's double standard for hosting retirement party for the superintendent while canceling prom. And this isn't just any retirement party, because I heard that and I was like, all right, they get a cake, you know, whatever. No, this had buses to transport guests. This had a reception with food. Everyone will be in close quarters. It was going to be a real shindig, but the kids couldn't have prom. Why do I care about this? Well, first of all, the hypocrisy is there. And you guys know that when there's hypocrisy, I am there to shine some light on it. But the second thing is, I'm a glamour girl. I loved prom so much. It wasn't even that it was that fun. I just loved the process of getting ready for prom. You know, you get with all your friends, you take pictures, you get your hair done, you get your nails done. It's just something so fun, so quintessentially high school that you don't get back unless you do it when you're in high school. And, you know, you're not going to go to prom unless you're one of those college kids who comes back to prom, which I do not suggest. But it's a once in a lifetime, and it makes me sad the kids are missing out on that. So if I had kids in school and they were, you know, having virtual proms, my sister had one of those the other day. She had a virtual reunion. They made drinks and stuff virtually at their own homes. And that's whatever. You know, reunions, you know, I don't think those are really make or break. But prom is special. So I don't blame the parents for being annoyed about this. That's a big part of your high school experience, whether or not you like it or not. It is. So it said parents felt like the district just took a page out of Marie Antoinette's playbook there and said, let the seniors eat cake. She noted this is Jennifer Alvey. She noted that seniors will not have a prom and are only allowed to invite two guests to their graduation, which means most kids can't even include their immediate family in their graduation ceremony. Now, keep that in mind when I read you this next part. The retirement reception will be held, and guests are allowed to bring four additional guests. So I don't know who this superintendent is, that the retirement party is like the bash of the century, but everyone can bring four family members? Or four plus ones? I don't know. I'm just saying. Am I crazy to hear? That would grind my gears.
That would be very irksome. I could see where you wouldn't want to do that. Again, it's not just the virtual prom, yes, all that stuff, but you've basically locked people who are not really at risk, who are not really a spreader of the virus inside, and told them they can't. In some cases, people feel they can't go outside, they can't hang with their friends, and then you have this wild bash and shindig. It's like, I don't know if, like, let's say the lieutenant governor of a certain state, or a commonwealth, actually, decided to have some gigantic type of party at some plush estate while telling everybody else to basically eat crumbs and stay inside.
Well, that
hypothetically
sounds,
out of thin air.
That's a ridiculous hypothetical. That would never happen.
I know, you're right.
People would never stand for that.
I overreached again.
It would have to be a really crazy state, like bonkers city. I agree. And I just kind of think that, like Jared said, and you know who else said it, Jared? That mother we played last week from Georgia. She said, we had such a blessing in the fact that these small children and young people don't carry this burden and that they are at such low risk for getting this virus. And we've ignored that. We've totally thrown that to the side. And rather than take advantage of that and say, listen, if we're going to do one thing here, we can let these kids live their lives. We've put this burden on them and it was never theirs to bear. It really wasn't. I'm just following the science. By the way, I did want to get this in here, Jared, before producer's picks at 2:30. Kamala Harris was asked about why she hasn't visited the border. This time she did not. I don't believe in this cut. She laughs. So we're making progress. She didn't cackle at the reporter. But listen to her answer. Cut one.
You're here to talk about infrastructure. Yes. Right now, Republicans are attacking you, saying you shouldn't be in New Hampshire talking about infrastructure. You should be in the southern border talking about immigration. How do you respond to them?
I'm not going to play political games. I'm here because the American Jobs Plan is going to bring.
Is answering questions that people want to know playing political games?
I'm not going to play political games.
Play political games. Okay. She also talked a little bit about how courageous Joe Biden is. Just keep in mind, Joe Biden was that guy on that virtual Zoom meeting with the other world leaders who had no American flag behind him to be seen and also had a mask covering his face. He was the only one with a mask on. This is Kamala Harris's take on Joe. Oh, and by the way, whose approval ratings are astoundingly low, especially for a Democrat who the entire media adores, but hers are even lower than his. So keep that in mind. Cut three.
This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage. He is someone who I have seen over and over again make decisions based on what he truly believes, based on his years of doing this work and studying these issues, what he truly believes is the right thing to do. And I'm going to tell you something about him. He is acutely aware that it may not be politically popular or advantageous for him personally.
Can we get a Daniel Dale fact check on Joe Biden being acutely aware of anything?
I was just going to say, very interesting word choice. We'll be back on the other side with a lot of people's favorite segment of the show. Producers' picks on the other side. Do not go anywhere. We still have a little bit more to go. It's The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Anyone who follows me on social media knows that I've been plugging relentlessly my latest piece for Spectator, which was all about John Forbes Kerry. And unfortunately, I got it out there just before a big, big story broke. And the New York Times has audio that has John Kerry telling the Iranian foreign minister about Israeli covert military actions in Syria, basically tattletaling on one of our allies. And a reporter asked Jen Psaki about this. This is a huge deal. This is a big scandal. And once again, just shows that John Kerry, like I write in my piece, which you can find at spectator.us.com, is always failing upwards. I mean, the guy really is responsible for so many of the things that led to Donald Trump. Donald Trump would not have been able to be elected president had it not been for the colossal mistakes of John Kerry.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
I know, John, but I'm not even done yet. Wait till I finish. Between the Paris Accord and the Iranian nuclear deal, there are so many big, big, big doozies that John Kerry had, and this is just the latest. But we also know that he's never been opposed to talking to foreign leaders when he's not supposed to be, or to saying things he's not supposed to say. And so this is a shock, just in the sense of it's a really stunning act of betrayal. But it's not surprising if you really know just how inept John Kerry truly is. So let's play the sound here. This is a reporter asking Jen Psaki about the audio from the New York Times of John Kerry telling the Iranian foreign minister about Israeli covert military actions in Syria. Like I said, essentially tattletaling on our ally.
So the first one is, in tapes obtained by the New York Times, Iran's foreign minister says that former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel attacked Iranian interests at least 200 times. As the Secretary has shifted roles, he still continues to represent the United States on a world stage. Does the President have any comment or reaction to Kerry telling the Iranians about covert military action on the part of Israel?
We're not going to comment on leaked tapes.
Okay. And then my second question is,
Is this like the New York Post rule? We're not sure if it's Russian disinformation, so we can't comment on it. We're not sure if the tapes can be verified. The craziest part of the not commenting on these incredibly damaging stories is that it is important that people know where Joe Biden stands on that. You know, it is important that somebody answers some of these questions. But Jen Psaki says, we're not going to comment. No comment. Okay, whatever. I have to imagine that even Caitlin Collins is sitting there going, wow, this is pretty stunning.
My second question is, does the president, regardless of leaked tapes, does the president have a stance on traitors to the United States? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Like what?
Actually, I'm sorry. Jared, your question was, does the president...
Traitors. John Kerry has a traitor. Right, does he think he's a traitor?
I don't have an answer on that. I will try to circle back with you. On a side note, my mother-in-law has baked cookies, which I would love to hand out right now. If you're...
Ramadan Karim.
Once again, though, if you want to read about how much of a boob John Kerry is, spectator.us. Yeah, and we'll keep you guys posted on that. That story is not going to end. This... I know I say this all the time, and I promise I'm trying to shake this habit, but can you imagine if any of this stuff was happening under Trump? If Trump wasn't on the COVID calls with the governors, that would be a massive scandal. If any of this happened under Trump's watch, it would be a massive scandal. And now we're not going to comment on that. Thank you. Take a cookie. Move
on. Rudy Giuliani did anything, and it would just be the equivalent of Rudy Giuliani doing this, basically. And I mean, you saw what they did for Rudy Giuliani when he went about the routine business that he had to do. Everything was the end of the world.
Yeah, but I feel like betraying Israel and really just getting the U.S. into so many terrible, terrible situations, it's the only choice for someone like John Kerry. So What are you going to do? All right, now it's time. It's your favorite part of the show. It is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
This is also my favorite part of the show because it's when I get to sit back, relax, and hand the mic over to my fabulous producer, Jared Diglio. Take it away, sir.
All right. Well, it's actually quite apropos that we just talked about John Kerry because we're going to start off with a little climate news. This came out late Friday night. I think the Daily Mail originally had it, but everybody, Fox, other stations have picked up on it. They got a hold of basically Joe Biden's climate requirements.
What does that mean, climate requirements?
As he pledges to get the U.S.'s carbon emissions to at least 50% by 2030, that means, you know, for the good of his plan, we're all going to have to kind of take a hit. We're going to have to pitch in. We're all going to have to be in this together,
so
some
he,
might say.
He wants the carbon emissions to drop the same percentage as the Oscar ratings. A nice half.
Actually, he's not even being that ambitious. The Oscars, I think, was 58%.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
That's a crazy goal. Even Greta wouldn't want that.
Yeah, even Dementia Joe's not going that crazy. All right, but as part of this plan, more than half of the new cars bought in the United States within the next decade will have to be electric cars. So everybody is going to have to convert to an electric car, which right now has a retail price tag of an average of $55,000. So you got to get rid of your old car. You got to get the electric car.
But Jared, here's my question. And I'm not a scientist, okay? I try to follow the science as best I can, but sometimes my Neanderthal thinking really, really interrupts that process. But I do have to ask, the charging stations. What powers the charging stations?
Good jobs, union jobs, good paying union jobs, like the Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Right. No, but I mean
Scranton,
like...
Scranton, Delaware line.
No, I mean like the power though. What kind of fuel or power fuels the electric stations?
Electricity. They're electric. Come on.
Okay.
Good paying union hamster jobs on those wheels. But
there's coal somewhere involved is all I'm saying.
No, it'll be wind or solar. They'll be solar.
Okay, cool.
But the real doozy here is that in order to do this, Americans may have to cut 90% of their red meat consumption under this plan. So remember when Obama told us we had to eat bugs? Well, now Joe Biden is saying that we should really only consume about 4 pounds of red meat per year, which is roughly an average sized hamburger per month, according to the climate.
Joe Biden said this?
It's part of it. He didn't say that, but it's part of the plan that they've interpreted.
One hamburger a month?
The Hamburglar is very clever and very sneaky.
Yes.
I had a hamburger on Wednesday night and on Friday night. And then last night I had pepperoni, so technically not a hamburger. But one a month?
I guess you just want to watch the world burn. Grace, I don't know what to tell you. Yes, one average size hamburger a month, and that's all. That's all the red meat. No steak, no nothing. No lamb.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about steak. We cook a lot of steak in my house. Mm-hmm. This is going to be tough. And you know what's so funny is that the 10% of the red meat is going to go to our dear leaders. You know, they'll be eating the red meat.
Absolutely.
They'll get all of the prime animal meat from the zoos, and we'll be left with, you know, slush.
Oh, it's the only choice for someone like them.
Exactly.
All right. So what has really gone underreported in the news, other than Rachel Maddow kind of losing her mind over it? The Maricopa County audit of the 2020 election, which was started by GOP Republicans, obviously, in the Senate in Arizona. So it's wild. It's going on until the middle of May, and they are hand auditing and recounting all of the ballots, the machines, and everything like that. But if you go to azaudit.org, they actually have 9 cameras feeding live all aspects of the audit, so you can see ballots. You know, there's overheads on ballots, so you can see where they're matching names. They even have a black light that they're going over the ballots with. Now, there's some confusion over what they're actually doing, whether whether they're looking for a certain watermark or whether they're looking for fingerprints or they're looking for creases that would be a mail-in ballot would have that a fake mail-in ballot wouldn't. But it's going nuts. And actually, the Arizona Democrats tried to stop this. And the judge told them, okay, well, it's going to cost you $1 million if you want to do that. So they balked at that. But a Maricopa County judge recused himself from the legal proceedings today. Judge Christopher Corey made the decision Sunday but didn't give a reason. So there's the recount is happening, or the audit's happening. There's judges recusing themselves. Obviously, it's not going to be enough to overturn an election. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but it could potentially expose lots of flaws in the voting system. So that's something to keep an eye on. Like I said, that goes to the middle of May. We'll just see where it goes. But some people have been texting in and on Facebook asking for an update.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to know. It is good to follow. I mean, like you said, it's not going to be enough to overturn anything. But if maybe we can show people some of the fraud, then maybe for the next election, we can have a little bit more integrity.
All right. And very quickly, Libby Emmons actually mentioned this. I don't have a name for this kid. He looks like he's maybe 13 or 14, but he's at some Vaccinate New York event. And he is singing the praises of Dr. Fauci, literally.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines.
Boom, 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 boom.
Help all the people who have been quarantined.
Ba, 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 ba.
We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please.
Boom, 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 boom.
We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease.
I had to stop it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you cut it short.
I did cut it short. Did I miss the finale? Did he really bring it home?
Something, 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 something.
Mister. Can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
Wow. That was something else. Yeah, the Dr. Fauci praise. I mentioned this earlier, but the New York Times opinion page ran a piece that was titled, "So Anthony Fauci isn't perfect. He's closer than most of us. We owe him gratitude, not grief." And here's one of the paragraphs. Shocker of shockers, Fauci isn't perfect. But he has been perfectly sincere, perfectly patient, a professional standing resolutely outside so many of the worst currents of American life. More than that, he has been essential. We owe him an immeasurable debt of gratitude, not the mind-boggling magnitude of grief that he gets. You know, I disagree, but obviously.
Happy 51st birthday to our forever first lady, Melania Trump.
Oh, yes. Today. Happy birthday, Melania, the stunning and gorgeous first lady and the brilliant and smart and charismatic. We wish you a very happy birthday. I hope she's relaxing at Mar-a-Lago, going to the... Remember when CNN reported that she goes to the spa twice a day? Well, you know what, birthday girl? Three times today. That's what I say. All right, Jared, is that it for Producer's
that
Picks?
That is it for Producer's Picks.
All righty. When we get back, we have Howie Carr joining us for the Carr crossover. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Now, I know I have a good poll question. If I can't answer it, if it's so painful or so unrealistic that none of the options make sense. And that's why I held off on doing the poll question till now, because if there's one person who could figure it out, it would be Howie Carr. So here's the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Nauset Disposal, affordable rubbish and recycling from Duxbury to Provincetown. Go to nausetdisposal.com. That's nausetdisposal.com. Are you ready, Howie, for the poll question?
Yes, I am.
Jared, take it away. Jared?
What do you think will happen first? Kamala visits the border, Biden has another press conference, or Charlie Baker lifts the mask mandate?
I'm going to say Kamala visits the border first, because I know Charlie Parker is never going to lift the mask mandate. And Joe Biden, after he delivers his quote-unquote State of the Union address this week, is going to have an excuse not to do anything with the press for another couple of months.
Yeah, he's going to go. He's going to take a nice long nap. He's like the groundhog. He's going to come out for a little while and then take a nice long nap. And Howie, I think another point that you probably are making there is that it wouldn't be that hard for Kamala to visit the border. I mean, she just has to go for a photo op. Which is why it's so amazing that she hasn't been in, what, 34 days?
Yeah, it is. It just gets worse and worse as the longer the days pile up. But again, she's not really capable. She's going to make a fool out of herself. But, you know, if you're going to make a fool out of yourself, you might as well do it sooner than rather than later.
Yes, that's very good advice. Jared, what are the results?
57% think Biden will have another press conference before 32% think Charlie Baker lifts the mask mandate, and just 11% think Kamala will visit the border.
All right, so I'm reading now. This is a quote that is going viral on Twitter because I believe this is from the New York Times, but it's pretty insane. Former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him that Israel had attacked Iranian interests in Syria at least 200 times. To his astonishment, Mr. Zarif said, Howie, I know you're an expert on John Kerry. I know you're not surprised by this, but how big of a story do you think this is?
Well, you know, the guy is on the National Security Council, too. That was, you know, climate czar doesn't mean anything, obviously. So as a sort of sop, they also put him on the National Security Council when Biden was selected. And I mean, how can you keep a guy on the National Security Council who's talking to a regime that wants to destroy not only the United States of America, but all of our allies with nuclear weapons?
Yeah, it would be like keeping a guy who's having a relationship with a Chinese spy on the Intelligence Committee. It would just be so preposterous. It's amazing that they could ever let that happen.
Yeah, I know. But it's, you know, the thing is, why doesn't he have any sympathy for the Israelis? I don't understand it. You know, I know he's not Jewish, but his father was Jewish. His brother, I believe, Cam, has converted to Judaism. I mean, you would think, forget the fact that they're a democracy and, you know, that they're the freest country in the Mideast, that Arabs have a better, Muslims have a better life in Israel than they do in any of the Muslim countries that surround them. I mean, why does he have this sympathy for a state that wants to destroy the one Zionist country in the world? I don't understand it.
It's a very good question, how he's going to be talking about that and a lot more in his show. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday. We'll be back tomorrow with more of The Grace Curley Show.
Can I get out of here, please?